Well, here I am in our worship centre on what I suspect is the most important Sunday that we've had since I've been involved in the privilege of serving in leadership here at Encounter. And there's nobody else here, and it's very, very strange. And I can't wait for that moment when we're all back together and celebrating and worshipping together. But today represents the opportunity to do what I call having a time out, actually. And why? Because I think actually the truth is we can get so caught up in life and we can do so much that we can sometimes forget what it is that God has been doing and is doing in our midst. You know, it's like we're in the middle of life and there's all this stuff happening around us and we are unaware of it. And as I was thinking about that and praying about that, I was reminded of a time many years ago when I was down at Soul Survivor. Now, Soul Survivor, if you don't know what it is, it used to be a huge summer conference for teenagers. And literally over the years, thousands and thousands of young people, students, teenagers have met Jesus through these conferences run by Mike Pilavachi and his team. And in the latter years of Soul Survivor, they used to have this huge big top, this massive marquee. And in the center of this marquee was a raised stage. So whatever position you were in the marquee, you could see what was going on around this big top. And as many of you will know, over the years, I've had the privilege of standing in front of very significant numbers of people, maybe 7,000-8,000 people. But the numbers at Soul Survivor were quite different, and it was much, much larger. And I would go as a guest of Mike Pilavachi's, and very often he would say, come and join us down at the front, come and sit down at the front with Mike and the team. And I was down there one evening when suddenly Mike said to me, Mark, come up on the stage. And so I'd been down near the front, close to the band, sort of listening to them lead worship, listening to Mike speaking. And so I'd been watching what was going on. But suddenly, as I climbed up onto this sort of raised stage, you know, this big stage in the center of this marquee, you know, where they do these sort of celebrations in the round, so the stage is in the middle and all the young people are around the stage, you know, when you get up on that stage, suddenly everything looks very, very different. You know, you're on this stage and that there are 12,000-ish young people, teenagers, students, young adults, and it is incredible. It's an amazing thing. You suddenly see this huge thing going on. You see lots of people engaging with the Lord, and it was sort of like this sort of time out moment when I just stopped and paused and took stock. As I was praying about today, as I was praying about this weekend, this Vision Sunday and this gift day, I had a picture of coming onto a stage, but coming on backstage into a theatre and being behind the curtains just before a performance began. So I could hear the band tuning up. I could hear people chattering on the other side of the curtain. And suddenly the curtain came up and you could see everything going on around. I used to have that sort of experience from time to time when I was out with the family, when they were much younger, when Karen and I and James, Sam and Hannah were out together. And, you know, I would find myself there, but not there, if you know what I mean. You know, I was physically present, but not always totally mentally present. And so you hear the voices, you know that they're having a great time. You see the smiles, but perhaps I'm not fully there present in the moment. And sometimes I would sense God convicting me, just saying, Mark, wake up. See what's going on around you. You know, don't miss out on these incredibly precious gifts that I've given to you. You know, the people that I've blessed you with in your life. The other day, like many of us in this COVID-19 sort of season, I'd been working out in the garden. Karen and I had been working really hard just last weekend. And when I came in, I was a little bit preoccupied with other things that I had to do. And then I just sensed the Lord whisper to me, as he does from time to time, Mark, don't miss what's going on outside. So I went outside and I looked up, and it was just incredible. It was like the Lord woke me up, and there was this beautiful pink lilac coloured sunset. You know, to be honest, I could have been in Kenya and just looking out across the Maasai Mara. It was so beautiful. And I sort of suddenly realized, my goodness me, God, you have given us this incredible gift called creation. And I could have missed this moment because I was totally preoccupied with something else. So you see, sometimes I think God calls us to those moments in the context of church life as well. Because there are moments, aren't there, because of just the sheer busyness of life, the fast pace at which we sometimes run, and even the fruit of the work of the Spirit in the midst of our community, you know, or the fact that we get sort of so caught up in this system called church that we can miss, I know that I can, miss all that is unfolding around me. You know, we can miss the fact that lives are being impacted for all eternity, that relationships are being restored, that marriages are being healed, that people are being counseled, encouraged and helped through life. And we can miss the fact that God is doing something and has done something very special in our midst. I don't think it's just me. I think it actually happens to all of us as well. We can sort of come in and out of a place like this, can't we? Sunday by Sunday, just show up, and it's just the place where we turn up, weekend after weekend. And sometimes we just need to pause, which is what I think this weekend is about. We need to take time out, because God wants to remind us of how special this place is. He wants to remind us of what it is that he's done in the past and what he's doing in the present. You know, what's happening in the life of encounter. He needs to remind us of what hangs in the balance for those of us that are called encounter. So I've been praying that today would be one of those moments when we sort of climb up on the stage, as it were, and get an overview. Or we imagine coming out on the stage and the curtains going up, and we see what has been and what is happening all around us, that we would realize once again that for those of us who are part of the Encounter Church family, something very special has and is happening here, and that God is using us to impact lives, that he's using us to impact relationships, that he's using us to impact this community and beyond. So I want us to look at a passage now, and if you've got a Bible, you may want to go there, but the words are going to appear on the screen as well. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 42. And I've asked Ron to bring the reading to us this morning because, you know, Ron is an amazing guy. He's part of the team here, he's on the staff here at Encounter, and I really want to honour him before all of us, because there is no way that we could be doing what we're doing at this moment in time without Ron. And so we thank God for Ron, and we want to honour him. But Ron, would you just bring that reading to us now?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Ron, thank you so much. That those words many years ago completely and utterly grabbed my heart. When I was a young Christian in my early 20s, you know, as I was wrestling with life and the future and what it was that I was being called to do and what it was that I wanted to do. You see, I didn't back then, and I still don't today actually, just want to be part of another institution. You know, I didn't want to give my life or any gifts or talents that I had to some sort of organization or institution. I didn't want to waste a single breath of my life without becoming part of something that is, without being part of something that's just going round in circles, just spinning its wheels, as it were, or just coasting along. I really wanted to be part of a revolution, you know, something that was literally changing the lives of men and women for eternity. So I want to talk about vision and the vision of encounter. And I want to frame our life together and frame the vision that I believe God has given to us here. You know, and you need to know this. We don't think, any of us that are on the leadership team, on the staff, or the trustees, we don't think that Encounter is a perfect church. We don't think that it's the only church. We don't think that it's the best church, actually. We just think it's one church of many, actually. But we do believe this, that it takes different churches to reach different people. And so when we came along to Encounter and we started serving here at Encounter, we did feel like God had given us a vision and that he'd made something very specific on our hearts, you know, and to build on all that has gone on before, which has been quite amazing. You know, as we reflect on that, we believe that God has given us this vision that would impact increasingly this community and beyond for him. So what is this vision? What is this unique vision for this season? Well, we thought right from the very beginning that God has called us to be part of a community of people that would be radically devoted to Jesus, that would be relentlessly sort of dedicated to reaching the lost and irrevocably committed to one another. Well, what does that look like? Well, I think to be radically devoted to Christ means that we would actually take the words of Jesus literally and seriously and apply them to our own lives. You know, so many of us really would prefer a balanced life, wouldn't we? A life that we can control and manage, a life that's safe, that doesn't involve challenge or suffering or difficulty, that doesn't involve stepping into the unknown and having to exercise a lot of faith. I think probably most of us are fine with giving to mission as long as it doesn't impact our lifestyle too much. I think most of us are fine with giving our time as long as it doesn't get in the way of what it is that we really want to do with our lives. I think we're fine with loving other people as long as we get a little bit of love back as well. We're probably cool with trusting God as long as we can try and manage the outcomes as well. But imagine a church where people began to actually understand that Jesus Christ is worth dying for, and that it's more fulfilling to live a life fully for him than to live a life with everything that this world has to offer, but to be separated from him. You know, imagine a church where people sort of actually grew in their radical devotion to Jesus. But we also dreamt that this would be a church that would be a place where we were irrevocably committed to one another, in a community where everyone would be welcome, where we knew that, you know, nobody was perfect, that everyone is significant, and that we believe that with God, anything is possible in somebody's life. And if you think about it, before Acts chapter 2, that there had never been this sort of idea of this kind of community. In history, there had been countries and there had been armies and there had been tribes, that there were families, there were cults where people could go and find good fortune from the gods that they worshipped. But at no point in history had there ever been this kind of community where everyone was welcome. There'd never been this kind of community where everyone was on a kind of level sort of playing ground, because they realized that nobody was perfect and that everyone was significant. Never before in history had there been this kind of community where everyone believed the best about one another, where they believed in the power of Jesus, when they believed in the power of the gospel, where they believed that the old could be done away with and that the new could be embraced and that lives could truly be transformed, that it would actually be possible that you could become the kind of person that God created us to be. That church wasn't just something that you did on Sundays, but we became a community that was part of our everyday life. And we also dreamt that we would become a church that was relentlessly dedicated to reaching the lost. You see, we believe that there is nothing more powerful than the local church. Think about it. We get to partner with God in creating these environments where people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has the potential to change the lives of other people for all eternity. And believe, you know, that those who are serious about becoming radically devoted to Jesus will eventually come to the conclusion that there is nothing more important than reaching people who don't yet know Jesus, because when they do, their lives will be changed forever. You know, I dream of a church where we're just seized by this realization that every earthly activity pales in comparison with having the opportunity of leading others into a life-changing relationship with the God of the universe. I think if we really understood this as a church, what's at stake, we would live differently. We would pray differently. We would love differently. We would work differently. We would give differently. We would serve differently. We would see other people differently. And we're not only passionate about sort of reaching people right here in our own local community, we're also passionate about fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the nations. You know, as a church, I really believe that part of the future is that we are called to influence different parts of the globe. I'm really excited that in this past year we have sent a mission partner out to South America. I'm excited that we've sent people out on short-term mission trips. I believe that those are the first fruits. Why not folk being sent out to China or to Pakistan or Uganda, Tajikistan or to Chad or India or Brazil? You know, I'm excited about a number of the connections that we already have and the potential that exists for future development. I sense that there is a worldwide impact that God wants us to have, where we take out perhaps educational help or medical help or building skills or IT skills or training and equipping skills for church leaders and planting of churches and so on. Yes, we are a local church here in the heart of the Cotswolds, but why not have a global, worldwide mission where God uses us to make a global difference for his glory and for his name? You know, we are going to give ourselves to multiplication in whatever way we can. Why? Because multiplication is at the heart of the kingdom. Whether it's here and through our weekend celebrations, through the developing ministries that we have, you know, whether it's out through this region and maybe with satellites in the future or overseas. If there is anything that this coronavirus season has taught us, it is the power of scalability. And right now, you know, as a church, we're on the edge of developing a partnership with Compassion out into Kenya through the links that we already have there, where we can sort of increase our support of families and children, giving them traction in life and changing the direction of their lives and their communities. Yeah, and why this emphasis on sort of overseas and a global mission? Because it's biblical. And it's very possible to have a strong local church without a worldwide mission. But it's very hard to have a strong worldwide mission vision without being a strong local church, because one supports the other. And what about here? Well, if you've read yesterday's newsletter, it was the Saturday newsletter with a difference, you know, that came out from Carrie and I and from the trustees and from the leadership team, you will know that we have been giving thanks and celebrating the many encouragements that we've seen over this past year. You know, we've seen 66% growth at our weekend celebrations. We've seen growing numbers of families and children coming into the life of the church. We've seen the development of Encounter Kids. We've had this new initiative, a Band of Believers launched for young people to sit alongside the work of Elevate. We've seen increased income streams of 60%+. We've seen the launch of Firefall, our prayer and praise evenings. We've seen increased numbers of people serving in the life of the church, continued community benefit, you know, as we've sought to bring hope and help to those that we live alongside in this community. We see buildings that are used most days of the week, the development of our online presence. You know, our online reach here at Encounter has grown by 86% in this last year. Our online community has grown by 36%. We've seen the development of men's and women's ministries. We've seen significant numbers of people gathered at our main festivals. We've seen the launch of Number 9 Counseling. We've seen an alpha course run in the last few months, which has been so powerful and impacting and touching the lives of all those that came on the course. We've seen increased giving to missions, both local and overseas. We've seen the refurbishment of parts of our plant here. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving, and thank you for giving, and thank you for playing the part that you played in helping make this dream come true so far. And of course, there is more. You know, we want to think through what it means to create more space for our weekend celebrations so we can invite more people into the life of this church. We want to invest more heavily into the work of Encounter Kids and our youth work. That's in part why we are asking for the monies that we need, increased monies that we need to develop the work that we're called to here. We are creating new opportunities to build bridges out into our community and exploring how we can develop our regional role. We want to run courses that equip people for everyday life. You know, thank you for all that you've given. Thank you for all that you've sown into all that we're doing in your prayer, in your time, in your resource. And thank you for wanting to be a part of what the future holds in store for all of us. And as I come into land now, I want to say that it's all part of what I believe is a call to us here at Encounter to grow, to give, and to send. And as I think about that call to commit to growing and to sending and to giving, as it were, I felt the Lord give me three words for today. They're three precious words to me. They always have been and they always will be. But these words, faith, hope, and love. You know, to grow and to give and to send are all about Encounter staying on mission. But if we're going to deal with that, then we're going to need to have faith, hope, and love. And you know that there are a couple of things that are involved in faith, hope, and love. And I think the first one is a call to a commitment to multiplication here. The multiplication of ministries, the multiplication of mission, the commitment to mission so that we can connect with more people, so that we can gather more people in. Because we are called to go out and to bring people back, as it were. And you know, I think as we give thanks for all that has happened here in the past, you know, you need to know that I believe that what the Lord wants to do in and through us in the future is going to be incredible. And really, at the end of the day, what we have to do is to stay on course. We have to stay on track. We have to stay on mission. We have to create more opportunities. We have to create more ministry opportunities. We have to give ourselves to more outreach, whether it's during a coronavirus season or not. And we have to grow, and we have to give, and we have to send. Did you know, weekend by weekend, when we gather in this place, we have empty seats. And it struck me only the other day that the seats that we have here are only ever here in the first place because of the courage and the sacrifice and the bravery of those who've given in the past to make it possible for there to be seats for people to come and sit on in this church. For those who've given in the past, we want to say thank you. But these empty seats that we have weekend by weekend as well represent lives that are in need of the hope of Jesus. You know, open seats, empty seats represent marriages that need to be healed, relationships that need to be restored, lives that need to be transformed, people that want to connect with Jesus but don't want the religion and the rituals that can so often be associated with church life. You know, open seats, empty seats remind us that we are called to stay on mission and that we are called to fulfill this unique vision that Jesus has given to us. You know, we are called to help people, aren't we? To find sort of freedom from the past, purpose in the present, and hope for their futures. We want to introduce people to the way of Jesus, and as they encounter Jesus, to see those individuals play their own part in changing this community and this region and the nations for him. God has called us to go to people who live in the midst of helpless and hopeless situations, whether it's locally or elsewhere, whether it's on a different continent or here in this region. But wherever we're operating, we here at Encounter are dealers in hope. We carry hope with us. You know, if you want a picture, maybe, you know, as we think of mobile testing centres, we are like mobile hope centres as we go out and as we're dispersed from this church and this community, and we take with us the supplies that God gives to us. If we take that to others who are in need of help and hope, whether we're being asked to pray for the sick or to feed the hungry or to set the oppressed free, whether it's offering programs, you know, online or here in these buildings for folk who desperately need help, touching the lives of people who are feeling helpless, who are so desperately in need of hope and love, where we are continually reflecting good news and where we are reflecting the heart of a welcoming Father whose heart is always inclined to those who are lost, those who are hopeless, and those who are desperate. Where we love through the eyes of the filter of Jesus, who only ever sees us through the filter of compassion and the most extraordinary love. So I hope that we're starting to understand that this thing called Encounter is so much bigger than any of us. I mean, what has happened here and what is happening here, we cannot take for granted. To have been part of all that God has done in the past has been such a gift. It is so precious. It is such a privilege to have been part of so much favor, where we've seen God at work so deeply. And he has given us the gift of faith. In faith, we have seen so much happen, and we have dared to believe together, haven't we, that something could happen here, and we've gone for it. A bunch of ordinary people have dared to believe that Jesus would use us to make a difference, that he's wanted us to play our part in ushering in his kingdom, using us to make an impact. God has used you, he's used us to make an impact, and we need you now more than ever. If we have any chance of becoming the church that God has called us to be, of fulfilling the dream that God has given to us here in this place, we need you. We need one another to continue to give sacrificially. I really want to encourage you to read the newsletter if you haven't yet. If you haven't received one yet, do contact us at the office and we will get a newsletter out to you, okay? But please read this newsletter, sort of see what we're reflecting on, see what it is that we're hoping to do, see what it is that we're asking for. Please reflect and then pray and then please respond. And the way to respond is sort of detailed in the newsletter. Why do we do all this? It's so that we can collectively give ourselves to all that Jesus has called us to in the year and the years that lie ahead of us. We need you to continue to give your gifts, the gifts of your time, your talents, your energy, your financial resources. You know, we need to encourage you to become everything that God has called you and us to be together. Why? So that we can create this environment, okay, where people can truly find freedom from their past, find purpose in the present, and hope for their futures. Where we grow is those who are radically devoted to Jesus, who are irrevocably committed to one another, and who are relentlessly dedicated to reaching the lost. A church that is committed to growing, a church that is committed to sending, a church that is committed to giving. Because we only ever give because he first gave himself to us. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we reflect on this and as we step into all that the Lord has in store for us in the future. Amen. Amen.